Greetings, everyone. My name is Tom Price, pastor of Roxalana Gospel Tabernacle. Glad to invite you this evening into our sanctuary. We are blessed to be joined this evening with Josh Scarberry, one of our associate pastors, and Brother David Fisher, our sound man. We have just recently this week had four people in our congregation who tested positive with COVID-19, and we decided to shut service down this evening and just watch things and pray and seek God's face and see where we go from here. So we've decided to put this Bible study tonight, part of our series that we've been in from 1 John for several weeks now, several months actually, to do it via Facebook. So we trust that it's a blessing. We are happy that you chose to tune in with us. You got the Word of God before you. Let's turn to the book of 1 John. Chapter 4. And I do ask you that you pray. I just told Josh and David, this is strange. So strange these days and this time is strange. But I want to be a blessing to you. I'll just act like I can see you sitting in the same place you always do. And without a doubt, I know the Lord is here. But before I even read the scripture out of 1 John chapter 4, let me offer a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the day that you've blessed us with. Graced us, Lord, in many, many ways. And thank you, Father, for health and strength. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord. And pray now, God, that one more time you would bless your word. Bless it, God, to our understanding. Open our mind that we might do that. Our ears that we might hear it. And our heart that we might receive, like James says, with meekness, the engrafted word that is able to save our soul. God, just bless your people as we seek to glorify you in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to read this evening in the book of 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to get just a couple of verses. We've been looking for several weeks now at the love of God. We started our study when we picked it up in verse 7 of chapter 4, and we looked at divine love. We also looked at deficient love or duplicated love. And at the end of this chapter, we looked and we'll look at what I just referred to, deficient love. But we've taken for the last two or three weeks kind of a side study, and we started to look and head towards the Bema. And that's what we're talking about tonight. And I'll refresh a little bit as we go on into our study. Listen to verses 17 and 18. John said, "Herein is our love made perfect." Now watch this. "That we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Now he's talking to everyone. He's talking to believers here, actually. He's talking to the family of God, the little children. If you read the book of 1 John, all five chapters, you'll see where John talks about God's family as little children. And he's talking about the judgment that we're going to. Everybody, let me say that again, everybody, man, woman, boy and girl, living or dead or will live, will go to some judgment. I mean, the Bible in the New Testament deals with seven different judgments. We're looking at three of them as we consider the Bema. And in light of the love of God, John wants us to understand that we as children of God will stand before Jesus Christ. John 5, 22, 23, 24 tells us that God has committed all judgment to His Son. We're going to a judgment, and I'll tell you more about it, not to see whether we're saved or lost, but to find out whether we receive rewards or lose rewards. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And that phrase here in verse 17, where it talks about the day of judgment, listen to these four words, because it says, listen to these nine words, not four. I don't know where the word four came there. But he said, "As he is, so are we in this world." Nine single syllable words that speak volumes. It would be well worth your time to dig in that as deeply as you can. And John said, "There is no fear in love, but perfect fear casteth out." Perfect love casteth out fear because, now watch this, fear hath torments. We've not run into the word judgment until verse 17 of the book of John. We've not seen the word torment until verse 18. So how do we understand these, especially in light of love? Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. So of the seven judgments the Word of God speaks about in the New Testament, we're dealing with three. We're dealing with, first of all, believers, followers of Christ, those that have been born again, those whose sins are under the blood, those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who have been sealed with the Spirit. when we come to Jesus Christ, the first judgment that we face is the judgment of the believer's sin, or we come to Jesus as a sinner, and in light of what Christ did at Calvary, in light of what God did through Christ at Calvary, people that are lost can be saved and become a son of God. At Calvary, like Isaiah 53:6 says, God laid upon Him, meaning Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I believe Paul said that he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I believe over in the book of 1 Peter 2:24, the Bible said He Himself bare our sins on the cross. So we as sinners, when we come to Christ, we come as a sinner, and listen to what I'm going to say, that's our first judgment. When we come to Him, our sins are judged in Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:7, washes us or cleanses us from all sin. Revelation 1:5, He washes us in His blood, and then we become a son of God. So when we come to Christ, we're a sinner through an act of faith, by work of grace. When we repent and receive Christ as our Savior, we become a son. That judgment starts at the time of our salvation, and it runs throughout the entire time of our earthly sojourn here to our glorification. It has a beginning and it has an end. It's called sanctification, actually. There's a human component. There's a divine component. There is an initial work when we, by the Spirit of God, are sanctified. As a matter of fact, Hebrews says, once and for all. But as we grow in grace and knowledge, 2 Peter 3:18, we are setting ourselves further away from the world and getting closer to Christ. And that's what's known in a simple way, in a very quick way, as sanctification. We're to judge ourselves, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You remember where Paul was teaching about the Corinthian church, about how to partake in the Lord's Supper. He said, now listen. He said, there's a reason that some of you are weak and sickly, and even some of you sleep or you're dead. It's because you failed to judge your own self. And when we fail, listen now, as sons, to judge our own self through the Word of God, by the leadership of the Spirit of God, when we fail to do that, when we sin and we don't confess and we don't go to God and say, God, I've sinned, I'm sorry, the Holy Spirit will convict us. The Word of God teaches us, Hebrew 12, God will chastise us. And if necessary, more than one place in the Word of God, but I'll give you two. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 John chapter 5, and I could show you example, just like Acts chapter 5, just like Uriah when he died touching the Ark of the Covenant, Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, it could mean death, because the Bible teaches there is a sin unto death. But, that being said, when life is over, we're not only being judged as a sinner, as a son, but also as a servant. We are stewards. And stewards, I got a definition of a steward somewhere, and if I could find it here on my paper, I'd read it to you. But it's something about somebody that is responsible for everything but owns nothing. And that's a pretty good definition of steward. Here it is. It's someone that possesses all things but owes no thing or nothing. That's pretty good. And we are stewards. Now you say, what do you mean, preacher? What's the judgment for? Well, let's look in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, and we'll see what we can glean from this passage and from our time that we're trying to invest today. Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, which was the most carnal or immature or spiritually weak church that I don't even think about in the New Testament, and yet God inspired him to write some of the greatest truths in these two letters that he wrote to the Corinthian church, so we have in the entire Word of God. And I'm thankful for it. Here in chapter 5, one of my favorite chapters, it tells us many things about the believer. It tells us that we've got a building in heaven, not made with hands, eternal. So when we die, to be absent from the body, Paul's going to tell us here, to be present with the Lord, we're going to get a new body. We sing about that all the time, don't we? Praise the Lord, I'll have a new body, I'll have a new life. But I'm going to pick it up and read in verse 8 and following. Paul said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul knew what was coming. He knew about death. He knew about what Jesus had done in dying and raising for our justification. He knew about a day of resurrection. But look at what he said in verse 9. He said, wherefore? He said, in light of all of that, in light of all that he said, verses 1 through 8, and I don't have time to back up and read it, even to comment on it. I encourage you to do that, because real Bible study provokes Bible study. He said, wherefore? And when you find a wherefore, you all know this, you ought to stop and see why it's there for. He said, wherefore we labor, now watch this, that whether absent or present, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Now watch what Paul says in verse 11. He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, if you've never wondered about that verse, I have many, many times. Why did Paul say that? Why did he use who knowing the terror of the Lord? Let me say this. There's so much I want to say. So little time. This judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment to determine whether or not we are saved or lost. That's determined when we met Jesus at Calvary as a sinner. Remember what He told you? We repented of our sin by faith, received Him as Savior, and He made us a new creature in Christ. We became a child of God, a son of God. That's when we started our pilgrim journey from earth to heaven as a believer, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. So listen to what I'm going to tell you. Our eternity, whether it's heaven or hell, is decided before we die. It's decided on this side of the grave. It's decided in this life while we have breath in our lungs, as long as we can make a decision. But everybody's going to stand before Christ in judgment, saved and unsaved. I mean, men, women, boys and girls, I've already told you that. Everybody is going to a judgment. And this judgment, the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, to use the Bible terminology here in 2 Corinthians 5 as well as in Romans 14, 10 and 11, I believe it is, it's for believers. It's for you and I who know Christ. And what it is a judgment to determine our position, I believe, in the kingdom that's yet to be set up. It's to determine whether we either gain or lose rewards, and I'll say more about that just very, very shortly. But it's for believers only. And it again is not to determine whether or not someone is saved or lost. So let me back up to verse 8 and give you this little thought. One of my favorite thoughts. I remember the Lord taught me this in verse 9 actually. Paul said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be, now watch this phrase, accepted, now watch the words closely if you will, accepted of Him. Now if we return, I'm going to real quickly just to show you that I know for sure it's the Lord God in verse 6 of chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. Listen to what Paul said. And watch the subtle difference, but it's an amazing difference. He said, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. Now watch the phrase, in the Beloved. Now, Paul knew he was in Christ. In fact, he used the word, or the phrase, in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus the Lord, in the Lord Christ Jesus, in Him, in God's Son, in some way, some 130 times. That's pretty remarkable, is it not? So Paul knew his standing. Paul knew his position in Christ. He knew that it was fixed. He knew that it was eternal. But he also knew he was a man. He also knew that he had a work to do. He also knew he was a steward. And he also knew that he would stand before Christ and give an account of what he did for Christ and those things that Christ gave him while in this life. Paul said, now look, I'm not worried about being accepted in Christ. I took care of that when I got saved. For me, April 23rd, 1974. But Paul said, I'll tell you what I am concerned about every day It's when I see Him, when I go before Him, to be accepted, to be accepted of Him. Hey, can I tell you, newsflash, Christ isn't going to say, well done, thou good and faithful to everybody, and simply because not everybody's been good and faithful. Now, we want Him to, but that's why Paul said, who knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. You know what we ought to do as believers with that thought of verse 11 in mind? We ought to do everything we can do for the Lord with all of our might. I look at two men in this sanctuary with me. Neither one of them had to be here, but they chose to be. Both of them love their pastor. Both of them love the Lord. Both of them love the Word of God. Both of them love fellowshipping with the saints. They don't have to do what they do. They get to do it by the grace of God. And like the wise man Ecclesiastes said a long time ago, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Now let me tell you something. When we go to this judgment, I'm afraid that many of us are going to hang our head in shame. We're going to be steeped in something called regret. And I'll say more about it in just a second, trying to set it up. Because this judgment isn't altogether about what we did do, but I believe with all of my heart, part of this judgment will be a revelation of what we could have done. It's not altogether what we have become, but what we could have become. So, it's a judgment. So listen to what he said. He said, for we must all. That's pretty plain, is it not? That means all. You know what all means? It means all, and that's all means is all. It's just that simple. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The bema, that's where we get the idea, or the word bema, from the Greek. The bema is simply a place where that was raised, where judges are watching over, say, the Olympic Games or the Games of Corinth. They were watching the runners down in the stadium, and they would sit there and determine who was the winner and give rewards accordingly. And of course, some people would receive no reward because they didn't win the race. But here's the good thing about being a believer. We can all run. We all should run. In fact, Hebrews tells us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We're going unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. Listen, Christianity is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's a lifelong run. So run. Listen to what he said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man the striver for the mastery is temperate in all things. Paul said, I therefore so run. Not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. Bring it into subjection lest day. That by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, Paul didn't say, lest I be cast away. He said, lest I become a castaway. Lest I be a castaway, meaning something that is no benefit, something that God will shelf and not use me. That's another story. That's another Bible study altogether. But for a Christian, we're not in competition one with another. I mean, I'm blessed with three associate pastors here at Roxalana. And none of us are in a race against each other, but we're all in our own race to do what God has called us to do with the best of our ability for the glory of God, the right attitude, so that one day we can receive what is due us. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm persuaded that God's a God of grace altogether, without a doubt. But let me emphasize something here, brother, sister. This is a judgment. Everybody heard me say that? Say amen. This judgment, as I said, it's only for believers. It's not to determine salvation. And it's not to punish believers for the sins that they committed after salvation. Because 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That'll make a Baptist shout right there, let alone a RGTite. But I want you to know, friend, it is to determine where we'll be, what our position will be in the kingdom. You say, preacher, where's this judgment going to take place at? Well, I believe with all of my heart that it'll take place somewhere in the heavenlies. Soon after the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 and following, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and following. I believe with all of my heart it'd be in the heavenly somewhere. And you say, how do you get that? Well, if you look on down in chapter 4 of the book of John, you'll find a bunch of people around the throne with white robes on and crowns on their head. And all of a sudden, the 24 elders begin to rejoice and give glory and praise and honor to Him that sits on the throne. And before you know it, all of those dressed in white, they're bowing before Him and laying their crowns at His feet. I don't know about you all, and I believe I do too. I want to have something to give back. I want to have something to give back in that day. I definitely do. So I believe that it happens somewhere between the rapture and we could say maybe the revelation of us in Revelation 4, because there's going to be a period of time, friend, between the church leaving and the tribulation starting. I wish I knew more about that, but I do know that there's going to be a period of time about that takes place. So let's look at a couple of things really, really quick, and we'll close. There's some scripture that honestly ought to trouble us. I don't know about you, I don't know how much you think about standing before God in judgment. I'll never forget going to court one time. And by the way, just for record, it wasn't for me. I was going as support for somebody else. I'll never forget before the judge got in that place. There were all kinds of different men and even a few women. They were various ages. They were all dressed in orange. Man, they were laughing, they were telling jokes, they were making references to the judge, and well, they were just being what they were. But I want you to know something. When that bailiff said, hear ye, the court is now in session. Rise for the honorable so-and-so. When that man came through that door out of his chambers, had that black gown on, sat in that high chair behind that high bench, I want you to know people took combs out of the pocket and began to comb their hair. They took bubblegum out of the mouth. They swallowed it, some of them. Others sat up straight in their chair. And you know what? Regardless of what they've been calling that man just seconds before he entered into that chamber, when he called them to before him to the stand, they called him, yes, sir, and no, sir. Your Honor, Judge. They were as respectful. Listen, folks. Listen. We're going to a judgment. We're going to a judgment. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, we came through this in our study not long ago. John said in verse 28 of chapter 2, and now little children, abide in Him. If you want to bear fruit, that's the only way you can do it, is abide in Him, according to John chapter 15, that great chapter of the parable of the vineyard, the vine, and you have to turn and read it. He said, and now the little children, talking about the children of God, those who belong to God's family, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence, watch this, and not be ashamed before Him at His appearing. You stay right there, but let me flip back to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and get a word there that we find right here. Listen to what Paul tells us. It's a very important word. Don't hear it maybe spoken of much. For we must all appear. You know what the judgment is about? And I've got to hurry. I've got to wrap this up. The judgment is about manifesting or revealing the truth about at least two things. Our intentions for doing what we did. Our motivation for doing what we did. And let me add one more. The character in which we did it. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's up to me and you. I have seen, and I'm not trying to be mean and ugly, I've seen people that have great talent but lousy attitudes. I was at a church one night. Matter of fact, I was preaching a revival. And things wasn't going too good in the devotion. I think the singers were playing, wasn't able to make it. And the devotionalist was doing his best job. He saw somebody back. A lady said, hey, sister, would you mind singing for us tonight? She could sing. I'd heard her sing. She hem-hawed and wallered around. Said, well, I don't know. I didn't come to sing. I guess if I have to, you know what I come to Asa saying? I come to Asa stand up and say, hey, sis, just keep your seat. That attitude, I don't want to hear you. And I believe God will say something similar. I'm going to tell you what, friend, I'm 67, older than I've ever been. But I still got some fire in my gut. I still got a preacher's itch. And if God's given you a call to something, you ought to want to do it. And when you get the privilege, hear me well, you ought to do it the best you can. Do it the best you can. For we must all appear. It's going to be manifest. It's going to be rolled back. It's going to be revealed, actually. When you get down to it, that's what that word is speaking about. And John said, now look, we've got a choice, me and you. We belong to the family of God. We're little children. Do you want to be ashamed at His appearing? Or do you want to hear Him say, well done? Do you want to be ashamed? Or do you want to hear Him realize, do you want to come to realize that you have been accepted of Him? You know you've already been accepted in Him, but now you want to be accepted of Him. You want Him to be proud of you. Want Him to be satisfied with something you did. Choice is up to you. Choice is up to nobody else. You can point your finger. You can say, if it wasn't for that board, if it wasn't for that deacon, if it wasn't for that preacher, if it wasn't for those singers, if it wasn't for my mom, you can say anything you want. When it comes down to it, by the grace of God, we are what we are. And greater is He that's in me and you than he that's in the world. So I want to have confidence when He comes. Let me tell you something. I say this with no boasting. There have been times in my life, if the Lord had come, I'd have been ashamed. I wasn't right where I should have been. Wasn't walking where I should have been. Wasn't walking how I should have been. And I know all y'all are so pious and filled with such, you know, godliness that you don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm glad. I am glad. But I'm telling you, friend, listen. It'll be too late to regret on that day because that's all we'll have. We'll have regrets. No place to repent. Let me give you one more verse. Tie all this in, tie it up, and then we'll go home. Well, you are home, come think about it, aren't you? John said in the second epistle that bears his name, look at verse 8, look to yourselves, notice that phrase, look to yourselves, that ye lose not those things which ye have wrought, but that ye receive a full reward. Now, choice is up to you. If you go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm just going to look there at a couple of things. I'm not going to teach it. I just want you to go there. You can use two different kinds of material to build with. You can use gold, silver, precious stone, and those are eternal things. Or you can use wood, hay, and stubble, and those are temporal. They'll never withstand the fire. Remember when John saw Jesus in the Revelation chapter 1, he said his eyes were as a flame of fire. They're going to be penetrating, brother, sister. They're going to look down into our heart. And God's going to say, look what you could have been, not what you are. Now, He's going to reward us for what we are. I'm not saying that. If you're a 100-fold person, a 60-fold person, a 30-fold person, it doesn't matter. You're 30 if that's all you can do. It's like 100. You understand what I'm saying? But if we took that thing and put it in a napkin and hid it, didn't work on it, and we didn't pay much attention to it, if we didn't develop, if we didn't grow in grace and in it, we're going to be awful sorry. But we have nobody to blame but ourselves. There's a fellow by the name, I believe, is Howard Goodman. You know Vestal and Howard Goodman. If I remember correctly, it's been a while since I read this little story. Said he had a dream. Said he dreamed that he died and went to heaven. When he got to heaven, he got the judgment standing before Christ. He said, the Lord took him. He said, come over here, Howard. I want to show you a few things. Took him to a room and he opened the door to that room. And inside that room, there's all kinds of boxes. And all of them were wrapped up with beautiful paper and ribbons and whatnot. And Howard said, Lord, I don't understand. He said, what is this? He said, why are you showing me this? And he said, well, I just wanted to show you what you could have had if you'd have wanted it. I'm afraid that's what it's going to be for me, T.K. Price. I've got a hunger and thirst after the things of God, but oh, I've missed the mark. Don't say that with any kind of boasting. And I'll tell you what I do boast in. 1 Corinthians 15:10, the beginning of that, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Listen, the Bema is real. It's only for believers. It is not to decide whether or not someone is saved or lost. That's decided before death in this life. But it will be to determine and decide what our position will be in the kingdom. There's a big eternity in front of us. Paul tells us in Colossians there's going to be a time where he's going to get every spot and wrinkle out of the church. And I believe the Bema will be probably that place where a lot of that work is done. So don't forget now, we're judged three ways as a son of God. As a sinner, when we come to Christ, repenting of our sin by faith, receiving Him. As a son, as we travel from earth to heaven, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of Christ. It's called sanctification. It begins instantaneously. It progresses until a glorification one day when we're finally changed, likened unto our Lord. And then there's the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, where we either receive rewards or lose rewards that we have. I'll close with this before I pray. I was reading after J. Vernon McGee on this long ago. J. Vernon McGee in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 said, you know what, there's going to be a lot of people that'll be in heaven that smell like they come through a fire sale. I'll have to say amen to that. I just hope me and you aren't one of them. Father, I'm thankful tonight for the privilege of looking into Your Word, and God, for the fact that it looks into me. May God it put the light on whatever shouldn't be in me and enable me, God, to change that, to get rid of it, and what I'm lacking. Lord, show me how to do that. Thank You for this time. Thank You for Your church. Pray, God, that You'd bless our folks that are sick, that are taken by this terrible, terrible disease. Pray, God, that You would bring them back to a reasonable portion of health, ease their pains and discomfort, and manifest Yourself to them in a mighty way. And their family, God, through this trying time. Protect us, Lord. Shield us. You did it to the nation of Israel. I believe You can do it to Your people that belong to You and who are in Christ. God, thank You for Josh. Thank You for David. And thank You for Your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.